Good evening, Father Scott.
Yes. Good evening.
It's something.
Mm-hmm.
Today.
Yes.
Is October 21st.
Ooh.
And normally, we kind of just talk about obscure topics.
Yes.
Who cares?
Yes.
Who listens?
Yes.
Actually, I know a lot of people that listen. So
there are some people who listen.
There was an article that came out today.
Yes, go on.
From the Catholic News Agency.
Interesting.
That says, in a documentary that premiered Wednesday in Rome, Pope Francis called for the passage of civil union laws for same-sex couples, departing from the position of the Vatican's doctrinal office and the Pope's predecessors on the issues. On this issue. The remarks came amid a portion of the documentary that reflected on pastoral care for those who identify as LGBT.
Mm-hmm.
Homosexuals have the right to be part of the family. Their children, they are children of God and have a right to a family.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody should be thrown out or made miserable because of it, Pope Francis said in the film of his approach to pastoral care. After those remarks and in comments likely to spark controversy,
yes.
So it already has. It's not even likely.
It's on the podcast now. Yes.
Pope Francis weighed in directly on the issue of civil unions and same-sex couples. Quote, what we have to create is civil union law. That way they are legally covered, the Pope said. I stood up for that.
He did.
Yes.
In Argentina as well.
In 2010.
Correct.
Yes. The remarks come in a documentary on the life and ministry of Pope Francis, which premiered October 21st as part of the Roman Film Festival, and is set to make its North American premiere on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So, any questions about this?
Lots.
Yes, fire away.
What?
Okay.
I'm very confused.
What do you think Pope Francis said? From what you read.
So what I think Pope Francis said is that legally, there is nothing in common legal law, not church law, that says this is okay.
Mm. Well, I mean, we legalized same-sex marriage in the United States, so-called same-sex marriage, people like to do the so-called, got back in, I don't know what that year was, maybe 2016 or something, 2000, I don't know what it was.
2000, like 8, 10, 9.
Really? Was that far back?
I forget.
Anyway, so that was legalized, and so I don't know what he's getting at with the same-sex civil unions. When he was in Argentina, the issue was you had a lot of people pushing for same-sex marriage, and his alternative plan was, what about civil unions? You know, as like a all right, we're going to lose this battle politically, but let's try to keep marriage not. Let's try not to change the definition of what marriage is as a society, but allow some space in society for same-sex couples to I don't know, whatever. What is a same-sex union? Let's get into that. What is a civil same-sex union? What is that? What is the purpose of it?
It has to be taxes.
Must be, because I think that
You know, in what they'll say is, well, I can love who I want to love.
Great.
So why can't I get married to this person?
Well, you can't marry a cat, right? So you gotta.
In some states, you can.
Well, maybe so, but marriage has very little. this is gonna sound a little controversial, but marriage. I was gonna say, what's marriage? What's love got to do? Got to do with it? So with marriage, what's the purpose of marriage? Right. The purpose of marriage is so really marriage is about the kids, right? The kids need to know that mom and dad are going to be true to each other until death do they part, because. Traditionally, societies have seen that when the mom and dad aren't pledged together in a lifelong exclusive relationship, the children suffer. And if the children suffer, the civilization suffers. Because then the children think to themselves, well, golly, gee, Willigers, if mom and dad aren't, it so rattles a kid if they've had parents who've gone through a divorce, it's just tough. It's one of the most painful things a child can go through. Children weren't allowed to say how much pain it was back in the day because it was kind of new, and mommy and daddy needed to be respected for their decisions that they made, even though you're like 12 and you don't know what's going on. It's brutal. It's brutal on the kids. The kids grew up in it. We're the first. My generation is really the first popular children of divorce generation, and it's going to reap. It's already reaped massive repercussions to the point where we think today that we've been so able to eviscerate the definition of marriage that we can apply it to unions that, of course, in tradition would never be considered as a married relationship. So what are same-sex civil unions? I don't know what they are. Is it an attempt at same-sex marriage just by another name? And I think what would be the ideal situation here. I really think it's okay. Let's say you've got two men that love each other very much. In the olden days, you know what we used to call that? Friendship, right? Used to call that friendship, who loved each other very much, right? Two men loved each other very much. They want to support each other. They want to help each other out. There's a real goodness to friendship, right? Two women who love each other very much, they grow in what's something called friendship, right? So friendship is a good thing, right? And it's just silly that two men or two women try to consummate the thing, you know, because it doesn't work, right? If you think about how the body parts go together, So like two men trying to consummate the relationship like a man and woman would, they'd be like, hey, babe, this doesn't work. It doesn't go where it's supposed to go. Hey. You know, that's, I assume they just talk like this.
Why are they so, Italian?
I don't know. But so anyway, you could think about that with the men folk and the women folk, just the same thing. They're like, how do we consummate this relationship? Well, it's not consummatable because you don't have the right body parts. They don't fit into each other, honey bunny. So you got to find a way for a man and a woman. The men and a woman, they fit together because they were designed to fit together. There's something called complementarity. So I really think the same. So what's interesting to me is Pope Francis didn't say, I'm in favor of same-sex marriage. Go, go, go. Right. He said Civil unions. He's trying to find a way where two people who want to spend their lives together can do so in a way. We used to call these places monasteries and convents, right? You had a bunch of people of the same sex living together, growing in Christian friendship with one another. It was a good thing. But again, the real sticky wicket, and nobody wants to talk about this, is the sex, right? Because There's no way to really consummate a relationship between two men or two women. So, and marriage, really at the core of it, is that ratifies the sacrament, is the consummation, right? So,
but that's the thing, is the church is old, the church is decrepit, marriage is not what the church says it is.
What is it then? I mean, really, this is what I don't understand anymore. Does it have a definition in our culture? Marriage. What have we done to marriage? Is marriage permanent until death do you part? No, right? According to our culture, because the culture says divorce is possible. And as G.K. Chesterton said, where divorce is possible, marriage is impossible. So the real vows that people should be giving to each other in the state of Maryland should be, I promise to be true to you until I don't. That should be the vow, right? I promise to be true to you, promise to be faithful to you until I decide I no longer want to be. And that would be basically what the law is saying, because you can just divorce the person for no real good reason. And if divorce is that easy, then marriage becomes irrelevant. And really, the whole concept of marriage is becoming more and more irrelevant in that way. So that's the thing. So we've lost the permanency of marriage. We start to lose people, like sometimes say the desire for an open marriage where they can have relations with people outside of the marriage. That would be, again, that destroys the exclusivity of marriage, right? Now we're destroying the complementarity of marriage by saying, well, it can be two men or two women who get married in our country. Well, okay. So what is that? Why do we allow for that? Because As a country, we say, what's marriage got to do with procreation? What's marriage got to do with children? We've gone so off the deep end. We think of marriage as a big selfie that we can take at the wedding.
No, I think people think of marriage as the piece of paper that you have to get signed so the government legally sees you as husband and husband, and wife, or wife and wife.
Why do you need the government to do that?
That's the question that I want to know. Yeah. Why do you need the government involved? Why does it matter that if you and Joe decide you guys want to live together, why do you need a piece of paper that says that you guys need to live together?
Right.
And then you bring in, you know, then we're going to bring in taxes, and then we're going to get into a whole.
Well, maybe if you get good tax benefits in that regard, but whatever the case may be.
Well, I mean, realistically, it shouldn't matter.
Right. Well, I would agree with that. Well, let's say you've got COVID, right?
Yes.
And you're really good friends with Joe.
Yes.
And I want to visit Joe in the hospital, right? Because Joe's got COVID or Joe's dying and I just want to see him. And if I say to the doctors, oh, but I'm Joe's best friend, that doesn't get me into the room, right?
Right.
So this weird hyper idolization of marriage, which actually has led to a lot of our problems now, where I would go in there and I say, excuse me, but I'm married to Joe. Oh, of course, right this way. Why isn't friendship enough, right? And this actually gets to the whole same-sex marriage movement, which was, it's not enough for me to be friends with this person because our 1950s culture has so hyper-valued marriage that you're like, no, the only way you can be happy as a gay man or woman is to marry. Why has marriage become the end-all be-all? And it's an interesting thing. There's something that when gay marriage was really becoming a thing, you know, the guys would say, they would say, well, I need this to be happy. Why do you need to be married to be happy? There's something interesting about that.
And it's not even just same-sex couples anymore. Mm-hmm. There are people that live together for 9 years. Oh, we got to get married because that's what everyone just expects us to do at this point.
Right.
And then they get married and then they're like, oh, we were better off just being friends.
I've seen these situations before is because sometimes they get married and then they get divorced shortly thereafter.
Yes.
And what's going on there psychologically, which is really interesting, is they've been acting like they're married for like 9 years. And then they kind of back into it and like, fine, well, we've been living together so long, we should get married. Actually, you got married 9 years ago when you moved in together, and you've been living like a married couple, even though you don't really want to be a married couple for 9 years. And finally, when you got married, you said, wow, we really didn't want this at all with each other. We should never have been shacking up together 9 years ago. We've totally messed up the order of things to the point where people are taking solo moons after they're getting married, which is just insane. So it's just nuts. The whole thing is just nuts. The issue really isn't marriage per se or civil unions per se. It's we are so perverted that we don't know the right way to. Really, why chastity is a virtue? I mean, people just don't understand that now. They're like, okay, well, why do you have to wait until you're married? And if you ask your average millennial, that's like, oh. And then you say, well, what can happen when you have sex together? Oh, I guess a baby can be made. Gosh, maybe if we wanted to have a baby made, we've got to make sure that we're in a lifelong exclusive relationship with each other for the sake of the child. Nobody in our country thinks about the sake of the child, right? And or the future or the generations or all the rest of it, which is why our country is collapsing, yada, yada, yada. But
do as the Romans do.
Yeah, well, it's that same thing happened to them too. And everybody's just thinking about how to pleasure themselves and no one's thinking about the future. Man. So
peace, love, dope.
Yep. But it's I think what Pope Francis is trying to do with the same-sex civil unions, he's using language here, which I find interesting. He doesn't want these people to feel like they're thrown out of society, right?
But I feel like society is going to take this and assume that in 3 years, 5 years, 10 years down the line.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they'd already do. Yeah.
You as Father Scott are going to be able to marry Joe and Henry together up at the altar.
Right, right, right. Yeah, that's what they'll probably be thinking. Although the culture is moving so fast down the drain that I actually think Joe and Henry won't even see the purpose of marrying each other anymore. They'll just be like, why are we entering into this marriage thing? I mean, what is marriage? Marriage is starting to become so irrelevant. It's lost so much of its meaning that I think you'll just start to see a drop in people wanting to enter into a societal covenant, which the society doesn't believe in. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's like, imagine you're Joe and Henry. Joe and Henry are like, you know, we want to enter into exactly what we have right now because we can get divorced at any time we want. We don't have to be exclusive to each other. There's no real vows that we keep because that's the society says you don't have to keep the vows. So you're actually seeing the whole same-sex marriage movement wasn't so much like, hey, look how, you know, the society is evolving. It was more, look how the idea of marriage continues to devolve from the divorce culture leading to, so you're getting rid of the permanency of marriage. You're getting rid of the exclusivity of marriage. You're getting rid of the idea that marriage is between the complementarity of marriage as a man between a woman. You're getting rid of the idea that marriage is something that's consummated, right? So what's left of marriage, and what you really get down to is, this is what friends do. They marry each other. And you're like, well, no, not necessarily. You know, friends can just be friends, and that relationship of friendship is a good in and of itself that doesn't have to be, doesn't have to have the marriage wand woven over it to be like, yay, now you're married together. I mean, really what you do with those things is you just want to have a big party, have a bunch of people there and take the ultimate selfie. And it makes you feel like you got the adult Boy Scout badge or whatever. Like, hey, now I'm an adult because I got married and la, 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 la. This thing is not going to last. It never has. You know what country, particularly what city, tried to legalize gay marriage in the 1920s?
Nope.
Berlin, Germany, right?
No idea about this.
Really? The Weimar Republic? You don't know about what happened there?
I don't remember this at all.
Okay, so people don't really talk about this, but it's why did Germany go crazy? One, you had World War One. Let's break down. Pandemic. You know, you got a pandemic. And when you have a pandemic, you always start to look at the other person and go, I bet they could infect me with something, right? And then you're right. Crazy. And then you have the 1920s, rampant pornography use. You had prostitution like you wouldn't believe. Berlin, the burlesque house, freaky, weird, sexual depravity like you can't even imagine. I read a book about this once. I'm like, oh my gosh, I would not even dream that would be like a thing you would do with like an animal, right? So they went crazy. Lots of transgenderism, lots of sex change operations being promoted. And then you got to this point in the 20s where they were really pushing in Berlin that you could have gay marriage. Where did this all come from? It came from this nihilism that developed from World War I. And then what came after that? And then the pandemic, you just a lot of people dying. And they're like, well, what's the purpose of trying to live through all this? And so that was all the 1920s. And then someone comes along who's going to make Germany great again. And a lot of those books, actually, when they were doing those book burnings, were whatever that Madame was, Madame Dietrich, right? I think that was her name, who's kind of promoting the transgenderism of the 20s. And so usually you have these huge epical shifts. You had all these Germans from the country who were like, no one believes in traditional moral values anymore. This is insane. We go downtown Berlin and a mother and her daughter are both prostitutes to the same man. It's disgusting. What's happening here? It's just total pandemonium. There's no sense, rhyme, reason, or anything. And they say, we need somebody who's going to bring back our sense of patriotism and our sense that Germany isn't just a nihilistic cesspool of depravity, but actually has good moral upstanding virtues. Yay! And that went too far. Right? Yep. So then Hitler what Hitler tapped into was this sense of Well, if everything is nihilistic and everything is crazy and nobody's making sense anymore and this is how we make things great again. And so if you're seeing echoes in our current culture now that kind of repeat that, well, welcome to the real, right? Yeah. It's going to get weird. It's going to get weird, folks. So, you know, hopefully this pandemic won't be followed by a Holocaust. That would be awful. Here's my hope for the whole LGBT like end game. Like this would be my hope, right? So like it would be that folks who are gay or lesbian or bi or transgender, eventually my hope is that they'll get their focus off of sex and say, you know, it's not about the person. Sexual attraction isn't at the base of all human reality. It's actually love. And what's love? What's the best kind of love you can have? And that's love between friends, right?
Right.
A totally disinterested love of the other. I'm not loving you because you can give me some sort of pleasure or help me pay my bills. I'm loving you because of I just desire the good of the other. And my hope is, and this is something that no one's talking about and it drives me nuts. If we can rehabilitate a sense and the importance of friendship, then you really are going to get places. You know, you're going to say, okay, Henry and Joe, you guys want to get hitched. Like if I had two gay men come to me wanting to get married, I'd say, why do you want to get married? What good will marriage bring your relationship? They may say taxes or whatever that other stuff. And then I might say, fine, civil union. You know what I mean? Because whatever. But I'd also tell them, don't sodomize each other. Friends, don't sodomize one another. Because it's not a really fitting way to express your love. You know, I would say, are there other ways other than sodomy which you could express your love? Maybe like go water skiing. I don't know. But just don't do the sodomy, you know? And yeah, that's what I say about sodomy. Andrew's got a look, everybody, that just like, what is going on? So don't let all this same-sex union stuff rattle you, you know?
I don't think it rattles me as much as we've talked in the past how Pope Francis can kind of be ambiguous with his words.
Sure.
And that's, I think, the part that scares me. Again, the whole society will take this as...
Who cares what the society takes it as?
As the church saying that Joe and Francis or Henry or whoever the heck I just said mm-hmm. can get married in the church. Right? Because the way I always thought of it was marriage was between three entities.
Mm-hmm.
The man, the woman, and God.
Mm-hmm.
And you can only get that inside of a church.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you go on a destination vacation, whatever,
mm-hmm.
you might have the title a marriage certificate, but mm-hmm. I don't think you're really married in the eyes of what the church sees as a marriage.
Mm. Well, we got to be careful here. Were Joseph and Mary really married?
In the eyes of the Jewish religion and Jewish church,
exactly.
Yes.
Can two Jews be really married?
Yeah, see, now you got semantics.
Ah, yeah, see this. So actually, the church would say yes. So we would believe the marriage between two Jews is valid, between two Hindus is valid, between two, give me another religion, Buddhists is valid, between two Muslims is valid, right, as far as we understand marriage. This is kind of fascinating. For the first time in human history, we're actually having a situation now where the state is defined marriage in a way different than it ever has been defined in human history, right? This is completely new, which is pretty crazy. You know, so I mean, for the first time, we would say, "Oh, you're a Marylander? Oh gosh. Well, according to your religion, as a Marylander, marriage isn't just between a man and a woman, and because the state of Maryland says it can be between two people of the same sex. So, the societal understanding of marriage is now different than the church's understanding of marriage. It was always the case where the church was like, we're blessing some natural thing. Like marriage is a natural thing. It's the one thing that Adam and Eve kept after the fall, right? Is marriage is there. And so nature had not become so corrupted that you didn't even understand what marriage was anymore. Now, gotta hand it to Satan. This was brilliant. Now the very idea of marriage is different than the church's idea of marriage. This is the first time we've encountered this in human history because marriage is such a natural phenomenon. You add a lot of contraception, though, you're going to make the natural unnatural. And that's what happened. So Because think about it, with the contraception, now you're saying marriage is no longer about procreation. Marriage is about mutual masturbation, right? It's about sexually pleasing each other without any chance of procreating a child. People are going to hate what I just said. I don't care. It's a pandemic. We're about to have the apocalypse. Gear up. So that's kind of Father Scott in a nutshell. Bring it in the hammer. But yeah, so that's the issue. It's the contraception divorced procreation from marriage. It then, you see, if they follow the logic, well, then why is consummation the way to ratify the marriage if you don't need to consummate the marriage, right? It can just be two people who love each other because it has nothing to do with whether or not those two people can have a child together. And you set up everything for, you set up everything with contraception for eventually divorcing the idea of complementarity, of consummation from marriage itself. And we're in a totally new world now where, Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, and I don't think we can put him back together again unless we have just massive, who knows? God's going to bring the hammer, though. Just waiting.
So what about people who get married in the church who can't procreate for health reasons or can't have sex for health reasons?
Mm. Okay,
they can't consummate the marriage.
You're asking a tough one. Let's get to the impotence. Yeah, the impetus. Impotence. Right, where you can't. Okay, well, you know what you can't do. Yeah, so not even Hotep. That's from the mummy.
Yes.
So let's say you have a guy, and this I asked this question before I marry a couple. I say, do you have any physical defect that would prevent you from having marital relations? Right. And if the answer to that is yes, you don't proceed with the marriage, because with something so fundamental to ratifying the marriage is the ability to consummate the marriage. So even if it's a man and a woman, even if they're both Catholic, even if they're both going, if they are not able to consummate the marriage, you do not perform the marriage, because consummation is the gesture by which the marriage is ratified. Same thing. If you have a couple who get married to each other and they never consummate the marriage, it is therefore it is dissolvable according to canon law, because it's that gesture has not occurred.
So I go hog wild.
We're really into sex as Catholics. Yeah.
We sure are.
The real sex, you know, sex where you have.
You know, what's so strange, though, is that we went from being, you know, the Catholics who had too many kids to the Catholics who are prudish to I don't even know anymore. Anyway.
I don't know either.
So what you're telling me, I go, before I got married, go hog wild. I get married to somebody. And I get married by Elvis down in Vegas, and we come back, and the church says, "Cool, it's validated." Don't know why they would do that, but they did.
We can't.
I know. I don't know why you would do that, but they did.
Actually, we can't by law do that.
If I go get married by somebody in Vegas, I can't.
Well, if you get married by somebody in Vegas, that marriage, because you're a Catholic, getting married outside of the church is invalid.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So if you needed to annul your marriage with that person, we could do it in 2 weeks. We just need some documents.
Oh, well, okay. That kind of, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's say I get married to some Protestant at a Protestant church.
Okay.
The church.
Still invalid.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Mm-hmm. Unless you get dispensations to do so.
Well, okay. We're going with we get dispensations.
Got it.
You Father Scott, okay. This girl's brother's the pastor.
Sure. Dispense.
Yeah.
Great.
Cool. And like 3 years goes by and we never consummated the marriage. I go, Father Scott, something's not right. You're telling me that that's grounds for annulment.
It's grounds for even more than annulment, of dissolving. It's easy to just say this marriage was never consummated. Therefore, this marriage was never ratified. Therefore, this marriage never. If it's an unconsummated marriage, I guess it's an annulment. So you just say, yeah, this never took place. It was never ratified by the gesture.
Is there a time frame?
No, as long as you guys are celibate with each other the entire time, then it's not a ratified marriage. It's annullable.
Wild.
Yeah, it's annullable. If you do consummate it at any point in the marriage, well, that makes it a marriage. You're in, quite literally and figuratively. So, there are a lot of things that can invalidate a marriage. You marry a woman who has no interest in ever having a child with you. invalidate. So, because part of marriage is being open to the to procreation, and if she's not open to it or you're not open to it, then you're not then you're not signing up for the same thing. Used to be marriage was oriented to the procreation of children. Contraception, not so much anymore. So people have different ideas about that. But if I had a couple who came to me and they said, we have no intention of ever having a child, and I would say to them, then I have no intention of marrying you, right? Because I can't. Because you're consenting to something that isn't what marriage is. And they're saying, well, we think marriage is this. I'm like, I know you do because you have a corrupted intellect thanks to the culture. And there's not much I can do about that. So, but I've gotten so crazy thanks to the pandemic, I'm just going to say it like it is.
So here's an argument that I have heard.
Yes.
Is that if you're truly pro-life, then it shouldn't matter that same-sex couples get married because then they'll adopt kids.
Mm. That makes no sense. But the reason why we're I have no problem with two men developing a deeper friendship with each other. In fact, I think Jesus would be totally for that. That'd be great, right?
Right.
It's the sodomy, pal. Just don't try to consummate something that's not consummatable. Okay. So just don't put things where they don't belong. There, I said it. I did.
Thanks for listening. This episode was produced by Jackie and Ken Miller. If you would like to join our family here at the Millennial Catholic Podcast, you can do so by joining us at patreon.com/themcpod. If you would like to help us grow a little bit, you can subscribe to us on Google and Apple Podcasts. While you're at Apple Podcasts, you can leave us a rating and write a review. It helps us spread the word a little bit. And until next time, God bless.